Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Center. It's wonderful to look out and see all these smiling faces and hear the bubbling conversation before we started. If you would stand and join in singing hymn number 87, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Thank you that in times of trouble or in times of our lack of faith, you're there and ready for us to depend on you. We thank you for those who are gathered here this morning, and we pray that you will be with us in this service and help us that the things that we say and do will be a pleasing to you, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Center Friends this morning. It's actually cool outside. It's kind of nice, even though the sun's not shining. I'm okay with it. Glad you're here this morning. If this is your first time here or you're not on our email list, we'd love to add you. And there's a visitor card in the front pew there in front of you. If you just put your name and email address or phone number, we won't show up at your house, I promise. But I will send you an email. I will put you on a newsletter so you can see what's going on in the church. And we'd love to add you to our list free of charge. We won't send you a bill. We won't send you anything but love and Jesus. So we'd love to have that and just place that in the offering plate when it comes by. There's a few announcements that we need to go over this morning. The first thing being is I have a monthly meeting survey. I sent that out electronically to those who have access to email for the membership. If you are a member and you receive that, please complete that. It is totally anonymous. I don't see anything other than the data that you put in it. If you do not have access to email, I have a paper copy that I will place in the back on the way out the door. Just grab one, bring it back to me next Sunday, and I'll put the data in the computer and we'll get that taken care of. It's a survey to kind of see where folks are about monthly meeting. I was asked to compile this from the August monthly meeting. And it kind of gives us an idea of best times, do you want to attend, why don't you attend, and things of that nature. So your honesty is definitely appreciated. Are there any other announcements that need to be made?
Bobby, I have one. Starting in September the 17th, Quaker men are going to meet on Monday evening.
So for the men in the meeting and your sons who don't like to meet on Sunday morning because you have to get up too early, this is your chance. 6:30, dinner meeting, and then a short business meeting after. 6:30 on the 17th, Quaker meeting.
Here in the fellowship hall?
Here in the fellowship hall.
Are there any others?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our book of discipline, our faith and practice, outlines a procedure for members to call a special session of our monthly meeting. And this has taken place. And the provisions of that of our faith and practice say that three members must ask for this special meeting, that this meeting is for one specific purpose only, and that it be advertised, for lack of a better word, at least 7 days in advance at one of our regular meetings. So three members, and they must be named, Tommy Sluter, Kay Coltrane, and Sharon Heiss, have asked for a call special meeting, a monthly meeting, for the purpose of, as Tommy was talking about his survey, for the purpose of time of our next monthly meeting, which was set for this Sunday. So being 7 days next Sunday, the 16th, we will call a special session of monthly meeting after the rise of service at 12:10 p.m. in the fellowship hall.
And for those that listen online, I'll repeat what David said. There's a special call monthly meeting at 12:10 next Sunday for the purpose of discussing the September monthly meeting time. And that was called at the request of myself, Kay Coltrane, and Sharon Heiss. Are there any other announcements?
Tommy, it's in the bulletin, but the Facilities Committee needs to meet together in the Hackney Bible Room here behind the main sanctuary. Just a very short meeting. We have something to consider.
And that's at the Rouse of Worship. Any other announcements? If not, will our ushers come forward for our tithes and offerings? Let us pray together. Father God, we thank you for this cool breeze. We thank you for this breath of fresh air this morning. While we cherish the sunlight, it's in those hot days that we so much respect and love the cool. Lord, I thank you for Center Friends Meeting and this gathering of believers that lift up your name on a daily basis. That as a corporate body can go out and celebrate the message of the cross, go out and preach the gospel to those who are lost, and to provide a sanctuary for those that are needing that moment of silence, that moment of peace to connect with you. Lord, we know that that requires a financial obligation, that requires a monetary requirement, Lord. And we thank you for those that are giving. We thank you for those that are receiving the blessing of those from who give. Take all that is given into your name and bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is a special day. It's Promotion Sunday. It's where we recognize our youth. And to do that, Melissa Shore will be coming up to make recognition from the Christian Education Committee.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am here on behalf of Christian Education to honor three young ladies who are beautiful inside and out, and we feel so blessed to have here at Center Friends. And because they are fourth graders now, something we always do at Christian Ed is give these young ladies a special gift. And so as I was thinking about what I wanted to say to y'all, I came across this little prayer in one of Landon's little books, and it's actually from Ephesians chapter 3, 16 through 19, and it was kind of Paul's prayers to the Ephesians, and it says, "I ask the Father in his great glory to give you the power to be strong in spirit. He will give you the strength through his spirit. I pray that Christ will live in your heart because of your faith. I pray that your life will be strong in love and be built on love. And I pray that you and all God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love. I pray that you can understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep this love is. Christ's love is greater than any person can ever know. But I pray that you will be able to know that love. Then you can be filled with the fullness of God." So, Natalie Wright, Emma Varner, and Lily Gilbert, will you girls please come up and take this special gift? And I hope that this Bible will serve you and comfort you and guide you all the days of your life.
You know, it's an interesting thing to see young folks grow in the Lord and to be able to see that they're blossoming and understanding the scriptures and understanding what God's love truly is. And it is an awesome experience to be able to see that and to watch them grow as they were smaller. And I look forward to seeing the other young folks as they grow up to continue being our young leaders. Because as we leave this earth, we leave it to them, and we need them in our church to continue what we have wonderful going on. At this time, I believe we'll begin our children's moments.
Okay, sorry. It's been a long time. I haven't had some cards.
The grandparents love talking about their grandchildren. And used to, you could ask a grandparent to show you some pictures, and they usually had more pictures than they really wanted to see. But now, they carry them around their phone, so it's even easier. They say, oh, look, look, I got all these pictures I want to show you. So, well, I want to know, how do you think that your grandparents came to love you so much? Did you pay them? Do you take them out to eat in fancy restaurants? Your grandparents just love us. In fact, I've heard some people say that they'd rather be a grandparent than a parent. That's kind of funny. You all don't understand that problem, but some people enjoy their grandchildren maybe more than they do their children or than they think they did their children. But I want to show you a picture. And I'll just go ahead and lay it out there that you can laugh at this picture because it's old. This picture is a picture from mine and Keith's wedding. It was taken 35 years ago tomorrow. Did you get that in there, honey?
Thank you.
for those children who were confessing. I am their attorney, and you cannot use whatever they say against them in the church. For those, you can't get on to your parents for feeding them apparently lots of soda and junk. What an awesome group of kids. And as a grandchild myself, I was an only grandchild on one side, but I promise you I was not spoiled. I was loved, but not spoiled. So grandparents are awesome. A lot of history. A lot of stuff we can learn from our grandparents and those that are grandparents maybe by proxy or that have raised us in the church or in our homes that may not be our blood kin, but they're our kin. So as we go into our prayer requests and blessings, I encourage you to kind of sit for just a second and think of those needs you may have or those needs you may know of, but also think of those blessings that what God has done for you this week or done for someone else. A couple of them that I have updated just this morning. Vernon Puckett is a friend of Jimmy and Sandy Ward. He is battling bone cancer, is that correct? Battling bone cancer and is at Cone and he's deteriorating and there's some concern there, so we need to lift him up as well. Buddy Poe, Jimmy Ward's cousin, it should be added to the prayer list for a continuous basis. He is recovering from two strokes, but is cognitively okay and just having some physical issues, getting up and walking, that thing. So after having survived that, he's doing okay, but still needs that prayer of strength and healing. And also, as you can see, Deborah's not with us this morning. She's actually with her mom, who was hospitalized last week. She came home after all the tests showed up clear, but she's battling vertigo. And those who have had that know how upside down that can be. So if you would just lift up, Judith Hartford is her name, and that's Deborah's mom. Are there any others we need to mention this morning?
Tommy, Jimmy and Gene Fields. Gene is a member here. They live up at the crossroads. Their son Butch runs the propane filler up there. Jimmy fell off a mower middle of the week and collapsed a lung. He's at Cone Hospital for a few days. And just keep him in your prayers.
And Tommy, Leanne's scan came back clear.
That is a wonderful praise. I saw on social media where she posted her scan was clear, and watch out world, because she's getting her strength back. So that's
and
an awesome.
And you have a new member.
Our member's here. Definitely.
You have a new member.
Oh, yes. We have a new associate.
Let's take a look.
And it's Zephan.
And I'm sure about
everybody show off the baby. Are there?
Okay. I mentioned my mom a few weeks ago who had fallen and broken her arm. They have told her she does not need surgery, so that's a praise. And her arm is healing. Caroline is at home battling an intestinal issue. She's been sick for the last 10 days and not better yet, so please pray for her. And my mom's sister, her only sister, is battling brain cancer, and she's on her final leg of her journey here.
What's her name?
Joyce Cloud.
Are there any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you as a corporate body of believers with so many needs. You know what's in our hearts, in our minds. You know what we're dealing with on a daily basis. You know that we're experiencing things that we may call into question. Our spiritual health. But we also know that you provide that guidance and that feeling of comfort just to give us that reassurance that you're there, Lord. Lord, we lift up Judith Hartford this morning, our Deborah Kirk's mom, who is experiencing a vertigo and is as aggravating as that can be. It can turn your world upside down. Help her set her compass straight, Lord. take that vertigo away and let her be able to experience that comfort of being able to move about and go about her daily life. But we also pray for her as she is at the coast and is an impending hurricane that's approaching. Give all those there protection and we ask that if it's in your will, if you will turn that hurricane back out. Just place a blanket of protection over the entire East Coast, Lord, as that storm approaches. Lord, be with Buddy Poe this morning as he's battling recovery from two strokes. We praise you that there's no cognitive issues, that his mind is clear and that his speech is clear, but his physical body is suffering, and that his ability to walk and move about is limited. Give them that strength, give them that feeling and that muscle and that willpower to stand up and continue his normal life. Lord, we lift up Vernon Puckett, a dear friend of friends here, Lord, and that he's battling bone cancer and that it's not going well. We know that you control everything and that you control life and death. And that if it be your will, we trust you. We trust you with your decision, Lord, as hard as it may be. But give the family understanding. Let them see your light. And give him that peace of mind, whatever you decide, Lord. Lord, we lift up Jimmy and Jean Fields as Jimmy's taking a fall and is battling a collapsed lung and having some breathing issues, Lord. Give him strength and comfort that he can return back to work and do as his normal day would be. That this is just a speed bump, just a slow down. Give him that energy and that healing power. But we ask that you be with Sharon and her entire family, Lord. Her mom, we praise you for her healing and her ability to get back to her everyday activities and her healing of her broken arm. But there's a need there, Lord. There's a couple needs. Be with Caroline as she's battling an awful stomach bug. It's causing her weakness and inability to eat. Help that pass, Lord. Help that clear up. Give the doctors understanding as Sharon contacts them for additional help. Give them understanding and clarity so that they can treat this aggravating bug accordingly, but with your direction. And Lord, we lift up Joyce Cloud this morning as she transitions from this life into another. Lord, we ask for your peace and comfort over the family, over all the lives that Joyce has touched. Give her comfort, let her see your light, and let her walk comfortably. We thank you for the many blessings you give us, and we praise you for Leanne Venable and her strong spirit. We thank you for allowing her to have clear scans, and we thank you for healing her body. We know this is a journey that will be lifelong battling cancer, Lord, but we thank you for the small miracles that you perform each and every day. Continue to bless us. You know our needs. You know those that are unspoken, Lord. Let us see you. Let us feel you. And most of all, let us love and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of times ring out the news, another day is
morning, we're going to continue our discussion on working. And sometimes that's not exactly the best thing to say, but work is hard. Can be. But last Sunday, we started the discussion because it was a Labor Day Sunday. And I told you a little bit about the history of the holiday, of where Labor Day came from. And my message covered the hard parts of the job description of a Christian working for the Lord. And my main points, for those that missed and just a refresher, were that it was that working for the Lord is a 24/7, 365 job. But there's peace and rest built in. And the second point was you won't get rich with earthly treasures, but you will be a spiritual billionaire. It's not a glamorous job, but it is a glorious job. And the last point was you will never be the boss, and you realize you never want to be. And if you want to hear the entire sermon, I encourage you, they're online. It's a wonderful service that they provide for our website that you can listen to the sermons online and follow along as we talked about working. But this morning I'm going to talk from Matthew 9, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And we're talking about the workers are few. And verse 35 starts out, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Here we have Jesus hanging out with his boys. He's hanging out with his friends, traveling around, doing some preaching and some teaching, healing folks. And all through chapter 9, we see that he's touching folks and he's healing the paralyzed and he's causing the blind to see. But he's also teaching the message of loving. But we also know early in that the Pharisees question Jesus. And they accuse him of blasphemy and befriending outcasts and disrespecting God. Now I have to admit, when I read this, you're accusing Jesus Christ of blasphemy. Now that's kind of funny to me. He's talking about himself. Okay. It's like calling himself stupid. That doesn't make any sense. But yep, he was guilty. He hung out with the outcasts. Yeah, he was guilty. And there's something very powerful about this small passage. And this passage is also in Luke. And that's how we know that there's some connection there. There's some validity. There's more validity to this little story because two different folks at two different times recount the same story. Two opposite witnesses recount the same story. And in the first verse, Jesus is with his disciples. He's traveling to all the towns and villages. Now, it's important to note that it's not that he's traveling to one or two or the big cities. He's traveling to all the towns and villages, all the places. We know throughout the Bible that Jesus traveled to seashores, lakesides, even walked on the water, went to villages and cities, leper colonies. He went everywhere, performing miracles, calming storms, healing those who were sick, eating with sinners. He did three things while he traveled. He taught, he preached, or proclaimed the good news, and he healed. In verse 36, Jesus saw the crowds. He looked among the crowds, and he made an observation of the situation. When when folks get to somewhere and they see a crowd, they kind of form an opinion on what's going on. And he declared that they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But then he made the statement, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." I think that's more like, "Boys, we got our work cut out for us." And after describing the problem so eloquently, he brought a solution. Ask the Lord to send some workers because there's stuff to be done. He saw the task at hand. He saw those who are harassed and helpless, using them as his motivation for his followers. And this is where we're going to look. We're going to look at that motivation and that task. And I was reading the passage, I kept imagining a picture of a farmer. And I want to be completely honest and tell you, I don't know much about farming. And I'm sure that doesn't shock a lot of you here. But I can, however, or I have, gotten up hay, drove a tractor, yes, the manual kind, not the push button, for those with the commercial tractors. And I can mow my yard. That's about the extent of my farming knowledge and experience. And we love our farmers, especially this community. Many folks around here depend on that farming to sustain life, not just for themselves, but for our country. Across the East Coast, across the West Coast, a lot of farmers here produce things that supply others. And the world needs farmers, and they come in all shapes and sizes and flavors and foods. All kinds of things farmers produce: milk, beef, pork, chicken, grain, vegetables. The first human God made was a farmer. He was supposed to tend to the earth. And I think some people forget that. How many here, by a show of hands, have plowed a field? How many have plowed a field by hand without a tractor? Plowing is an essential part of a farmer's operation, is it not? I mean, you kind of got to plow some stuff. Plowing by hand looks like a daunting task. Looks too much like work to me. A lot of sweat. And there's a picture in your bulletin. There it is. I put a picture in the bulletin of a farmer plowing a field. This is where we're going to go with this morning. We're going to really look at this picture. And he's plowing without a tractor. Someone asked me earlier who this was. I have absolutely no idea. This is not a local person. It's not a center person. It's an image, a stock photo that I was able to use with permission off of Google. But it's perfect for what we're talking about this morning. Now here you see you have a farmer. The farmer is a person who guides the plow that's being pulled through the dirt. This is the person in charge of the operation. Develops the plan, commands the horses to the direction in which they should go, and it tries to control the speed at which they plow. He manages the plow to make sure that his lines are straight, and that it's used appropriately, and that it's taken care of. The farmer's the boss. Second part of that is the plow. The plow in this picture is a metal blade. It's attached to some wooden handles, a wooden stock. And as it's being pulled through the ground, that blade is turning the dirt. And as it goes through, it's kind of beveled, and it turns the dirt out. And it breaks up clumps, and it softens the dirt. It allows moisture to kind of penetrate even deeper. It gets snagged on roots, it hits rocks, but for the most part, it continues to move through the earth. And those wooden handles, the farmer holds on to guide the operation. And as we see here, there's a team of horses here. This is the muscle. The muscle behind the plow, or actually in front of the plow, but the muscle pulling the plow. They're harnessed to it, and they're both controlled by the farmer. The horses should be well-behaved, should follow directions, and stop when told to stop. and turn when told to turn, and go when told to go. Shouldn't jump around acting wild because that will cause injury to the horse and potentially the farmer. As the plow is pulled, there are times when the horses will need to lean into their collars, pulling harder and harder depending on the quality of the dirt. If they're told to go and go hard, they need to lean into it to pull that plow through the hard parts. Last part of that picture is the ground. This is where the plow is being drugged through and being turned over. It's the ground that will eventually hold a seed that will grow into a crop the farmer needs. And he needs that crop to sustain life, to sustain family, and to sustain others' lives. Once planted in the ground, the seed can find nourishment to grow. But should the ground not be right, not be prepared, then the seed will never take. The seed will never grow. And then you're really in a mess. I think this picture, and I'm a visual person, is the picture of a Christian relationship. This is the picture of a Christian relationship. It explains our connection to God. It explains our role in His world and our purpose. So when we're looking at this picture in just a minute, there are little pencils in your pews. If you want to take a note, I'm going to have you write some things on this picture that I'd like to for you to carry with you during the week. So take one of those little pencils or a pen and kind of draw a line from that farmer and write the word God. Next to the farmer, write the word God. God is the farmer. He guides every moving part of the plow, including the horses. He gives the commands to the animals to begin their work. God knows the overall goal of the harvest. He sees the direction in which to plow the field. He recognizes the work has to be done. Next to the plow, I want you to write the Holy Spirit. The plow represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit digs into the dirt, breaking up the hard parts, turning over the land. It shapes and prepares the ground to receive the seed, helping to create life change. The Holy Spirit is used, much like the plow blade, to really get into those hard parts. As this plow or the Spirit continues in the dirt, it continually makes the land ready to grow. On the ground part, write the lost. This represents those who do not have that personal relationship with Christ, who do not know Jesus. It may represent someone here this morning, or someone in your family, or someone in your friends, or at work that you know. Each year, the field must be plowed and planted. Maybe we are those who need to be turned because our ground has gotten a little too hard for growing. Maybe situations have caused us to become hard, to question that belief, to be that sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looked at the crowds. He had compassion because he knew they were harassed and helpless. Unturned earth is just that. It's just there. It does nothing to help the farmer just being there untouched. And finally, next to the horses, I want you to write the word me. M-E. The team of horses are working for the farmer. We are working for God, helping the Holy Spirit penetrate and till and plow and turn, whatever word you want to use there. we are pulling and leaning against our collars to really get in to those hard parts of the lost. We are the muscle. He is the leader. Christ died for us so that we could possess that eternal salvation. Jesus told his disciples to pray for God to send workers into his harvest field. We know what the job is about. We know what we have to do. So what happens if one of these is missing from the picture? Nothing. Absolutely nothing happens. Nothing gets done. Without the farmer, without God, the horses have no direction. They have no goal. They have nothing to give them direction, which does not get the field plowed. Without the plow, the dirt stays in its original form, untouched and hard. Without the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we do not experience that life change. That dirt being turned over, being made right for sowing. The world needs a chance to be changed. The Holy Spirit is that conduit for that change. Without the team of horses, the farmer's mission may not get completed. The farmer's field doesn't get plowed. If the horses did not show up to work, the plan comes to a halt. If we, as the team of God's horses, decide not to work, how much soil gets turned? How many people lose out on the hope of Christ and that hope of that eternal life because the horses decided to just stand in the middle of the field? Being God's workhorses, being God's team, that's what we are. We are called to do that. We are called to be part of God's team. Hudson Taylor, the founder of Overseas Missionary Fellowship, said this, and it was very, very important. I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked if I might help him to do his work through me. Jesus went, Jesus taught, he preached and proclaimed, and he healed. He showed compassion, he led the lost sheep, he recognized the need of so many in the world. In chapter 10, we know Jesus sent out his disciples under his authority to spread the message. What if they hadn't done that? What if they stood in the middle of the field? As a team of horses, we can do that. We can do what Jesus did. We can teach and proclaim, and we can heal through love. We can heal the brokenhearted, the shattered lives of the hopeless. We may not have the ability to perform miracles as described in the Bible, but we may be that life-changing miracle in someone else's life. A friendly hello, an invitation to church, a simple prayer to a stranger, a helping hand, a donation, helping sinner fulfill the Great Commission, preaching the word of the gospel, talking about Jesus, talking about what we love. That's where we have the power under Christ's authority, just like the disciples. Our love for others in the name of Jesus might be the strength needed to pull the plow through someone's hard dirt. John MacArthur said, "You are the only Bible some unbelievers will ever read. You are the only Bible some unbelievers may ever read." Can we admit that we aren't the farmer and allow God to have the reins guiding us in the world that may be difficult, that is difficult? It is very possible that with each row in the field we create, a seed is planted that receives the light of Christ and comes into a beautiful harvest. As we enter into open worship, let me leave you with just some questions to take with you. Where are God's laborers? Are they in this room? Are they in your family? Are they amongst your friends? As Christ's church, are we plowing hard enough? As you go through your week, cut that picture out. Place it on your desk at work or on the fridge or on the table somewhere where you'll see it on a daily basis. Ask yourself if you're pulling hard enough. There are people in our lives who are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus gives us the answer to the problem. Ask the Lord to send out the workers and get to work. Father God, I thank you so much for this body of believers. I thank you for the hard workers that are here today, Lord. I thank you for the ability to preach the gospel to those that are listening. Lord, as we enter into a moment of silence to connect with you, let us hear you. Let us listen. Let us get direction, and let us be your team of horses, Lord. We're ready, saddle up. Let us pull your message through the world. Thank you so much for this blessing in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Years ago, Lord and I were in the youngest class here. If I remember right, Mary Frances Gamble and Hazel Murr were the ones that headed up our class for several years. And now, as you can see, Lord is about to be the oldest one man member here older than Lord, and it's Branson Marley. And so now, we're in the oldest class that used to be the youngest class. And this morning we discussed several people of our group that we need to be really concerned about. Is Linda Trent, Geraldine Osborne, and then Branson from the meeting. Is it anybody else that y'all think of that seem like they're going through hard times now? But I'm so thankful that the most of us that are losing the abilities that we have had, that we have a family to take care of us, and they're willing to do it. But I feel sorry for the people that don't have a family, and then I feel more sorry, for the people that have a family that don't feel inclined to help their elders. So if you're not there yet, you're going to get there, and I've always heard what goes around comes around. So if you've got somebody that needs taken care of, you better do it if you want somebody to be around to take care of you.
Thank you for the challenge, Tommy. If we could, we'll stand and sing for our closing hymn, number 442, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee, verses 1 and 4.
so much for the ability to gather and love you. Thank you for loving us and showing us how to love others. Challenge us, break our hearts, and give us guidance to go out and plow your fields, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.